Good Thursday and welcome to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Glad to have you along here today. We'll bring you feature agricultural news reports along with a look at regional and national agricultural news. And we'll start with regional agricultural news headlines right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
According to the National Agricultural Statistics Service Pacific Regional Field Office with USDA, the March 2022 to 2023 Valencia orange forecast is 16.2 million cartons. This forecast was based on the results of the 2022 to 2023 Valencia orange objective measurement survey, which was conducted from January 9th to February 28th. Estimated fruit set per tree, fruit diameter, trees per acre, bearing acreage, and oranges per carton were used in the statistical models estimating the production. The season experienced scattered precipitation in some areas, which caused a rainy start to the growing season. Survey data indicated an average fruit set per tree of 616, a 13.9% increase from the previous year, and 12.2% above the five-year average of 549. The average March 1st diameter was 2.39 inches, down 2.8% from the previous year, and 5.1% below the five-year average of 2.52. The California Farm Bureau has joined various California counties and forestry and wood products organizations in filing a legal brief seeking to intervene in defense of the U.S. Forest Service's use of a critical retardant used in wildfire suppression. The Farm Bureau's decision to intervene in the case is in response to litigation challenging the Forest Service's aerial application of fire retardant as part of its firefighting strategy. Our farmers and ranchers face severe threats from wildfires that can occur in national forests and spread to agricultural lands, according to California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson. Additionally, the wildfires threaten the lives of livestock, disrupt grazing operations, and put our rural agricultural communities in peril. He says that we support the Forest Service continued use of this important firefighting tool. Besides Farm Bureau, the groups joining the motion to intervene in defense of the Forest Service include the Town of Paradise, Butte County, Plumas County, Rural County Representatives of California, American Forest Resource Council, National Alliance of Forest Owners, Federal Forest Resource Coalition, California Forestry Association, Montana Wood Products Association, Oregon Forest Industry Council, Washington Forest Protection Association, California Women for Agriculture, and the National Wildfire Suppression Association. The California Department of Food and Agriculture has released the final report from the Manure Recycling and Innovative Products Task Force. CDFA convened the task force in late 2021 with a goal of developing recommendations on how to recapture and enhance nutrient value of dairy manure while supporting healthy soils, protecting water quality, and reducing agriculture's carbon footprint in California. The work group was comprised of dairy farmers and other members of the dairy industry, representatives of academia, state and federal government agencies, and non-governmental organizations with interests in sustainable farming, water quality protection, and environmental justice. Recommendations for addressing nitrogen surplus are grouped into conventional strategies, compost strategies, denitrification, and treatment and nitrogen capture. In close alignment with this effort, CDFA-funded research conducted by the California Biomass Collaborative at the University of California, Davis. The findings provide an overview of the amount and location of surplus nutrients within California's dairy sector and evaluate selected manure treatment technologies capable of recovering manure nutrients in useful form or otherwise safely reducing surpluses. The CBC's completed report, Manure Nutrient Recovery, Removal, and Reuse on California Dairies, includes topics for additional research and development needed and suggestions for quantitative assessment of technologies. Looking ahead, the MRIP Task Force plans to continue its efforts in collaboration with CDFA to utilize its recommendations and monitor progress. The University of California has received $15 million in grants for UC innovation and entrepreneurship in support of California's climate action goals. The awards are part of a historic $185 million partnership between UC and the state of California to tackle climate crisis, from developing new methods for carbon capture to creating innovative coping strategies for drought, wildfire, and other impacts of a global warming planet. Each of UC's 10 campuses will receive $1 million to seed climate-focused entrepreneurial efforts, as will the UC Health System, the UC Statewide Division of Agriculture and Natural Resources, the UC Statewide Natural Reserve System, and the UC-affiliated Lawrence Livermore and Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Together, our campuses, national labs, and other UC divisions offer California a comprehensive portfolio of deep expertise, innovative ideas, scalable solutions, and a strong commitment to the state, according to Dr. Teresa Maldonado, UC's Vice President for Research and Innovation. She says, "We continue to endure persistent climate-related challenges, such as the recent atmospheric rivers and the extreme heat and wildfires in summer and fall. Everyone across UC is eager to play a role in developing place-based solutions in partnership with communities, industry, and the state. The two-year grants will build on the innovation and entrepreneurship resources that already exist across the university, with a focus on projects that will aid California communities, particularly those most vulnerable to climate disasters or which have borne the brunt of historic inequities. UCLA, for example, plans to use its grant to further refine new technologies for coping with air pollution and extreme heat, two climate impacts that disproportionately affect low-income communities. UC Riverside plans to deploy its funds to launch the Oasis Entrepreneurial Academy, which will offer education, mentorship, and help with commercialization to climate innovators from across the Inland Empire. UC San Francisco will use the funds to develop data and best practices for helping those at highest risk from the adverse health impacts of wildfire smoke in the San Francisco Bay Area, including the development of a clinical emergency response plan at the UCSF Health System for wildfire smoke events. The 2022 to 2023 state budget provided the $15 million in funds as part of a larger investment in climate action projects that will have a measurable impact over the next 1 to 3 years. Later this year, UC will award an additional $80 million in grants to researchers at higher education institutions across the state as part of its alliance with California lawmakers to bring cross-disciplinary multi-sector expertise to bear on the climate crisis.
FarmSmart, an outreach program focused on agricultural literacy, has educated more than 168,000 people in the Imperial Valley and surrounding areas since its inception in 2001. The program is an integral part of Desert Research and Extension Center, the oldest of 9 centers operated across the state by University of California Agriculture and Natural Resources, and serves K-12 students and their families. Nestled in the southeastern corner of the state, Imperial Valley is home to over 500,000 acres of farmable land and more than 65 crops, making it an ideal place to teach youth about the valley's significant contribution to California, the United States, and the world. Joining the show is Stacy Amparano, FarmSmart Program Manager at the Desert REC, and Jairo Diaz, the center's director. Amparano said the program serves as a reminder to kids that they come from a place that feeds most of the country throughout the year.
The program itself promotes a better understanding of agriculture, which is the source of our food, fiber, and energy, and its impact on our economy and daily lives, as well as protecting natural resources and cultivating healthy people and communities in Imperial County. Like Jairo said, it started as through an NSF grant back in, you know, early 2000s, so 2001. And it was an after-school program that was in collaboration with one of our local school districts. So from the very start, we had that connection with our local schools. And I think that's been really valuable because from early on, the teachers and principals and, you know, the school districts saw the value in connecting agriculture. When we're learning about science, you know, how does, you know, teaching that through the concept of agriculture. So it's before STEM was, you know, this big catchphrase. You know, we were teaching science through agriculture and doing it with middle school students in an after school setting. Through the years, we've had the standard, you know, seasonally themed field trips that we do for our students. And primarily we see like that K through I want to say K through fourth to fifth grade for those field trips. And they run from October until May with a little a 2 month break in January, February, where we do some other programming, but October through May, different themed field trips that cover topics that are pertinent to, you know, Imperial County and California agriculture. So teaching students about what's growing right next to them and what is growing in Imperial County, because we have students, you know, some of these students are very rural locations where their schools are right next to ag fields and they don't really know what's going on. We have, I mean, this is recent, sixth graders that think marshmallows grow on a plant. So when we think about, like, you know, teaching kids where their food comes from, you know, ties into that nutrition of, you know, how are you truly understanding good nutrition if you think marshmallow is a plant? Like, you say, oh, eat your fruits and vegetables, and they're like, oh, marshmallows, that's a plant, so must be healthy. So it kind of ties into our nutrition as well. And that's why early on we have connected with CalFresh. It's a University of California program as well. I'm sure you're familiar with it. So part of our funding, one of our educators, half of their funding comes from CalFresh. So we implement CalFresh curriculum into our program. So it's a nice tie-in of not only learning where your food comes from, but how does that food affect our bodies and how can we make good choices about the food we eat and staying active. So it's a nice blend that we do with our programs and, you know, pick vegetables and then how can we eat those vegetables? So it ties in very nicely together.
Diaz said the Farm Smart program ties in nicely with the two-year Imperial County Community Engagement Program.
This is a two-year program. When the goal is to have resources so that the school districts, along with our ag industry, can talk together and find out opportunities to bring local produce to our local school districts. This is one of the objectives. The other objective is to bring more of our educational programs out to the kids and also to the teachers as well. We want to provide opportunities for teachers to learn more about agriculture here in the Valley. So we put together, you know, just recently, about a week ago, we bring together educators and administrators to one of our local farm operations. And the farmer, you know, explain, you know, how is the agriculture here in the Valley, how, you know, how they produce different kind of vegetables, how they store that produce, how they sell that produce, how they market, how is the business, you know, how complex is that business on those things. And we also brought together, you know, other farmers and growers for that day. So everyone, you know, was learning about how is agriculture in the Valley. So this is a huge opportunity for us in order to bring together different stakeholders and provide opportunities for farm-to-school programs here in our county. Because most of our produce that we have here go away, you know, go to the major metropolitan areas. We may get back something, you know, later on, but, you know, pretty much, you know, the market is for metropolitan areas in the state, even in the world as well. So this is a great opportunity for us to expand our programs as well. So, you know, it's a way, you know, to help our communities here in the Valley.
Diaz said he's definitely seen specific cases over the years of participating youth benefiting from the program and gaining a richer understanding of the world of agriculture around them.
When we have intern students from a junior college, and we provide that opportunity for them, you know, to explore, you know, what is agriculture, what is science, technology, engineering, you know, and how they can relate that with agriculture and natural resources. Provide that opportunity, and then finding that they went, you know, along the way, they finished their bachelor, they finished a master's degree, and now they are, you know, in a PhD program. You know, that's powerful, you know, that's the message that's the real outcome, you know, that over the years, you know, we have been working so hard, you know, to put in the pipeline this youth. And this youth, most of the youth are, you know, from underrepresented communities in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. So having, you know, women in STEM, Hispanics and Latinos, you know, coming to this is much needed, because it's really missed, you know, that group, you know, in STEM program. So having the opportunity, you know, to help them, you know, to help the youth, you know, to develop the pipeline, you know, for them to succeed in their life, and also then to get back, because some of these, we have one of the students, Mariana. Mariana was an intern student for us from a USDA program as well. She was a paid internship, and she did a great program, you know, for our Farm Smart. Then she finished a bachelor in math here locally. And then she moved to do a master program in UCLA. And she finished in the program. Now she's back, you know, she's volunteering some of the programs. But one of the things, you know, that is most amazing is that in the master program, they're required to do a thesis. So she's developing, you know, a survey and try to figure it out, you know, the impact, you know, what is needed, you know, for more kids like her, you know, coming into science and STEAM programs, you know. So something that is so valuable that she find out, you know, that here locally we have a resource from the University of California that can provide that, you know, that opportunity for our local youth, you know, to move forward in their lives. And then coming back and pay off, you know, some of that support as well. So that's really a circle, you know, that means a lot for all of us working at the Farmers Market in Desert Rec.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Tallstrom.
In national agricultural news, the Environmental Protection Agency has proposed the first ever national drinking water standards for PFAS chemicals. As part of EPA's PFAS strategic roadmap, the agency proposed to establish legally enforceable levels for six PFAS known to occur in drinking water. The proposal also initiates the distribution of $10 billion in funding to address emerging contaminants under the bipartisan infrastructure law. EPA Administrator Michael Reagan says the proposal would help provide states with the guidance they need to make decisions that best protect their communities. If finalized, the proposed regulation will require public water systems to monitor for these chemicals. Senator Joe Manchin, a West Virginia Democrat, says many farmers, producers, and growers at no fault of their own have found alarmingly high levels of PFAS in their food products. Last month, Manchin encouraged the Biden administration to provide funding to help farmers when they are forced to remove their products from the commercial market. The consumer price index rose 0.4% in February on a seasonally adjusted basis after increasing 0.5% in January. Over the last 12 months, the all items index increased 6% before seasonal adjustment. The food index increased 0.4% in February, and the food at home price index rose 0.3% over the month. The index for non-alcoholic beverages increased 1% in February after a 0.4% increase the previous month. The indexes for other food at home and for cereals and bakery products each rose 0.3% over the month. The index for fruits and vegetables increased 0.2% in February, and the index for dairy and related products rose 0.1%. In contrast, the meats, poultry, fish, and eggs index fell 0.1% over the month, the first decrease in that index since December of 2021. The index for eggs fell 6.7% in February, following sharp increases in recent months. More than 400 organizations affirmed the support of the Pesticide Regulatory System under the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, or FIFRA, in a letter to lawmakers. The letter is in response to recently introduced legislation that would undermine the science-based standards contained within our nation's pesticide law. This is the third time these organizations have contacted Congress to voice concern over similar proposed legislation. CropLife America President and CEO Chris Novak says any legislation seeking to ban individual chemistry and politicize the regulatory process undermines EPA's work and the longstanding laws that serve our nation well. Novak says the proposed legislation would jeopardize the continued availability and innovation of pesticide products by imposing an unscientific and unbalanced process. The proposal could unnecessarily remove pest control options from those who need them to safely grow crops, adopt conservation practices such as conservation tillage, and resource-saving crop rotations. U.S. senators yesterday reintroduced legislation to allow year-round E15 sales nationally as the ethanol industry continues to push for those sales to be allowed for the 2023 summer driving season that starts on June 1st. As reported by DTN, Senators Deb Fischer, a Republican from Nebraska, and Amy Klobuchar, a Democrat from Minnesota, both members of the Senate Agriculture Committee, reintroduced the Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act. Last November, the Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act of 2022 was introduced in the Senate by Fischer and then in the House in December by Representative Angie Craig, a Democrat from Minnesota. The bill introduced on Tuesday has the endorsement of the National Corn Growers Association, American Farm Bureau Federation, National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, Renewable Fuels Association, Growth Energy, American Coalition for Ethanol, and more. Chris Young, National Association of Conservation Districts Director of Government Affairs, talks about their Farm Bill priorities for the 2023 Farm Bill.
We want to keep at least level funding for Farm Bill conservation programs within NRCS and FSA. We also are looking at integrating the investments provided by the Inflation Reduction Act into the Farm Bill. And we do want to see those investments. There's about $18 billion included in there for NRCS, Farm Bill conservation programs. We want to see that money kept within the conservation title.
Young adds it is important that money be kept for conservation programs as there is a huge oversubscription for these programs and many people are not eligible but would like to participate and may have the opportunity if the money is kept in the programs. In addition, Young says that NACD would like to see more streamlined processes within the programs.
We think there are a lot of opportunities to streamline and simplify application and administrative processes. Definitely some opportunities within RCPP. We hear continuously from members that that process is really cumbersome and needs to be simplified. Same within EQIP and CSP.
In addition, he says they would like to have more local program development. Once again, that was Chris Young, National Association of Conservation Districts Director of Government Affairs. Data from the Department of Agriculture shows India will continue to dominate the world rice trade in 2022-2023's marketing year. USDA projects India will break its own world record with 22.5 million metric tons of rice exports. In May of 2022, the U.S. government, along with nine other governments, initiated technical consultations with India regarding its trade-distorting rice subsidies. However, to date, the U.S. government has not taken formal action to address India's alleged World Trade Organization violations. Now the USA Rice Federation is calling for a WTO trade dispute action. India's policies not only violate their WTO commitments, but also impact the livelihoods of those that produce or consume rice across five other continents, according to Bobby Hanks, USA Rice International Trade Policy Committee Chair. Hank added, "We encourage the U.S. Trade Representative to initiate a dispute settlement action to help American farmers and our counterparts compete on a level playing field."
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.